B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Chof Tes. We're going to start 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Ches Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Gufa. And now the Gemara starts with a quote in the name of Rav that we saw towards the bottom of Daf Chof Ches Omud Aleph. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Koshois are these sprouts that grow on the branches of some of the shrubs, on some bushes. The choses. Choses are ears of grain, that the grains are still green. That means they were harvested prematurely before they became ripe. Ma'arvin bohen, one is allowed to use them to make an eruv. They're edible and they can be used. That's what we saw from Rav, and we discussed this already. We discussed the koshes, we discussed the choses, under what conditions and what types can be used for an eruv. Umavarachin alein b'ir pri adoma. And Rav held that on both of these, since they grow from the ground, you can make Boire Pri Ho'adoma. That's the end quote. And now the Gemara is asking a big question, Koshois Bekamo. Now this word Bekamo is something which is going to take us to the next Daf. The Gemara is going to explain on Daf Pei Omud Beis that in order to use food for an Eruvei Tchumin, which means that a person who cannot himself be present at the point 2,000 amas from the city that he's from his city, in order to be able to walk another 2,000 amas from there on Shabbos, he can represent himself by putting some food that belongs to him in that place, and then it's as if he's there at the onset of Shabbos. And then on Shabbos, instead of being able to walk 2,000 amas around the town that he's actually in, he can walk 2,000 amas around where this food was. And that gives him an extra 2,000 amas in one direction. How much food has to be put down? That's the big question we're going to discuss. Bekamo, how much food has to be put down that it can be called an eruv? It can be used as an eruv. So the Gemara says on Daf Pei Omud Beis, we're going to learn there, that it's mozoin shtei sudois. Even though we know that on Shabbos we have to eat 3 meals, but the third meal is a lesser, somewhat got less requirements, and therefore the main meals of Shabbos are 2 meals. You have to put down as much food as you need for 2 meals. That's called mozoin shtei sudois. However, that's not completely accurate. It's true that you need food for 2 meals, but every food item, how much do you need? That means you don't need to put down 2 whole meals. From every food item, or from any food item you want to put down, you only have to put down as much as you would use for 2 meals. So if you're going to put bread down, you need to put the amount of bread that you would eat in 2 meals. If you're going to put down apples, then you only have to put down as many apples as you would eat in 2 meals. And that's enough. It means any one food item that you put down, that you put down enough of that food item that you would eat that food item during 2 meals, that is enough for an Eruv. So now the Gemara starts with the koshes and the choses. We're starting with the koshes. Bekamo. How much koshes do you have to put down? Which means how much of these sprouts, the koshes that grow on these bushes, how much of that would a person typically eat for 2 meals? Kedomer Rabbi Chil, says the Gemara, it's as we're going to soon see Rabbi Chil said elsewhere, and the Gemara is applying it here as well, kemeloi hayad, a handful. If you have a handful of koshes, that's as much as you would eat for 2 meals, and if you put that much down for the Eruv, it's a valid Eruv. In the same way as Rabbi Chil said it elsewhere, the same applies here with the koshes. Continues the Gemara. Choses. These ears of grain that were harvested when they were still green, when they were not yet ripe, and according to Rav, you can use them for an eruv. How much of this choses do you have to put down to be a kosher eruv? Bekamo. Omar Rabbe bar Tuvia bar Yitzchok Omar Rav, kemeloi uzilto deikri. As many grains as typically were bundled together by the farmers, they had very standard and fixed sizes of the bundles. As much as the farmers would typically put in a bundle, that's how much a person would eat for 2 meals. Omar of Chilkiya bar Tuvia says that Ma'arvin Bekalyo, one is allowed to use something called kalyot. And Rashi explains that kalyot is a stalk of a type of a grass, and it happens to be very, very hard, like wood. You can use that for an eruv. Asks the Gemara, but kalyot selka daitach? This kalyot, these stalks are so hard, they're like wood. They're not edible. If they're not edible, you can't use it for an eruv. Ella, what did he mean? Beyarko de kalyot. What he meant was the greens, the leaves, or the green part of this grass called kalyot. And since it was edible, you can use it for an eruv. And here again, the question is, bekama, how much of this yarko de kalyot, of the green part of this kalyot, how much do you need? How much is typically eaten over the course of two meals? Om Rabbi Yechiel, this is where we see Rabbi Yechiel that we mentioned before, kemloi hayad, a handful. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah, nofak lekairisei. Rabbi Yirmiyah, as was typical even back in the times of Chazal, that even great Chachomim, they would have business, or they would have fields that they would harvest. They would make money, they would be working for their parnosa. So Rabbi Yirmiyah had some crops, and he went to the villages to see how his crops were doing. Nofak lekariyesa, he went to the villages. Bomine, when he was in the village, they asked him, Mahu le'arev bepulin lachin. Are you allowed to use moist beans for an eruv? Lehava biyodi. Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't have the answer. He didn't know. Ki osa lebei medrasha. When Rabbi Yirmiyah came to the Beis HaMedrash, he obviously posed the question to the Chachomim there, what do they know about making an eruv with moist beans? Omrulei, the Chachomim told him, Hochi oma revyane. We know that Rabbi Yamai had an opinion. He said, Ma'arvin bepulin lachin. You're allowed to use pulin lachim, the moist beans, for an eruv. V'kamo. And how much of these moist beans would a person eat for over two meals, and that would be enough for an eruv? Omer Rabbi Yechiel, kamalai ayad. Again, Rabbi Yechiel said, a handful, that's as much as one needs. Omer Rav Amnuna said, Ma'arvin betardin chayin. One is allowed to use raw beets to make an eruv with it. Asks the Gemara, Eini, is that really so? It can't be. V'ha'omer Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, and it was a type of a play on words, but he said, Silka chaya kotil gavra chaya. The word chay can mean raw, and the word chay can mean alive, healthy. So Rav Chisda said, raw beets, silka chaya, kotil kills gavra chaya, a live man, a well man. So you see that eating raw beets is dangerous. And so how can you use it for an eruv? You can't eat it. Says the Gemara, hahu beboshil v'loy boshil. When Rav Chisda said that the raw beets, they were dangerous, that was talking about when they were not properly cooked, when they were semi-cooked. But Rav Amnuna, who said that one can use raw beets for an eruv, he actually meant that they were properly cooked. Since they were properly cooked, they was not dangerous, and therefore you can use it for an eruv. And not only when these beets are properly cooked, it's not dangerous. If they are completely raw, that's what he said, he was talking about raw beets. If they're completely raw, then they're also not dangerous. When they're semi-cooked, that's when they're dangerous. And then one cannot use it for an eruv. Ikeda Omra, there was another version, Omer Vamnuna. Ravamnuna said, Ein ma'arvin betardin chayin. You're not allowed to use raw beets for an eruv. Not like we saw before that Ravamnuna said you can use it as an eruv. Here he says you cannot use them. Da Omer Rav Chisda, and the reason is because of what Rav Chisda said, Silka chayo, kotil gavra chayo. Raw beets are dangerous. They kill a healthy man, and therefore you cannot use it for an eruv. Asks the Gemara, v'kachazinon de ka'ochli. We see that people eat raw beets and they don't die from it. So why do you say that it's dangerous? Why do you say you cannot use it for an eruv? Answers the Gemara, Hasam beboshil v'loy boshil. When we said it was dangerous, that's only when it's semi-cooked, like we saw before. But if it's either completely cooked or completely not cooked, then it's not dangerous and one can eat it. And therefore one can also use it in that state for an eruv. Omer of Chizda. Rav Chizda is now telling us something else about these beets. Tavshil shel taradin, a dish of beets. Yofe leleiv v'tov leinayim. It's good, it's beautiful, it's healthy for the heart, and it's good for the eyes. V'kolshken b'nei me'ayin, and it goes without saying, and it's even more so that it's good for the for a person's stomach. Omar Abaye, v'hu de yosiv abei tofi. That when is it true that the taradin is so beneficial and healthy? That's only when it was cooked, when it was sitting on the bay tofi, which means on the top of a stove where the pots were typically kept. V'ovid toich toich, and it was so well cooked, these beets were so well cooked they became soft, and when they were boiled they made this hissing sound of tuch tuch. And only then, if one eats it, it's got all these benefits. If one drinks it, then it's got these benefits. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav. Rav said, Hareini ka ben Azai b'shuka Tveria. Ben Azai, when he was in the marketplace of Tveria, Ben Azai once said that I'm feeling in such an elated state, I've got such clarity of mind, that I can answer any questions. And Rav said the same. He said, I, Rav, I'm feeling an optimal state, I've got absolute clarity of mind. Any question that you want to ask me, you can ask me. Omar le hahu mirabbanan. One of the chachomim said, Lerova asked Rova, okay, I've got a question. Tapuchim bekamo. He's taking it for granted that one can use tapuchim. Let's translate it as apples. It's very hard to know whether the way we translate all these fruits and vegetables, are they exactly what Chazal had in mind? So nobody should rely on this. But we typically translate tapuchim as apples. We took it for granted that apples can be used for an eruv. The question is just how many? How many apples would one typically eat in two meals? Tapuchim bekamo. Omar le. So Rava answered, Uvachim ma'arvin betapuchim? Who says you can use apples for an eruv? And there's a question in the Mefarshim if Rava actually had a doubt or whether he was just challenging the Chachomim to get them to put their thinking caps on to find a proof. But either way, the Gemara says, Veloy, you Rava bringing up such an, entertaining the idea that it could be you cannot use apples for an Eruv, Votnan, we learnt in a Mishnah. And we learnt a number of Alochas in the Mishnah. Kol ha'oichlin mitzdarfin, all food items they can combine, which means that we have a number of alochas to do with food items. What, for example, there's a halacha that if food items cannot make a person tomei. A person can become tomei from an av hatoma, become a rishon. A food will not make a person tomei. However, there's a halacha that if a person ate as much tomei food as half a pras, which is a quarter of a shiur. We're not going now into exactly how big a pras is, and a pras is half, but we're not going now into how much is a pras, how much is chetzi pras. But either way, if a person ate half a pras of tomei food, then this person is not allowed to eat truma in that state. The question is, does he have to eat half a pras of tomei of a single food, or can he eat a combination of different foods that make up that volume of food? Says the Mishnah, kol ha'ichlin mitztarfin, all food items combine, livsoy lesagvia, to make this person now posel, not legible, illegible, to b'chatzi pras. If he eats the shi'ur of half a pras of tomei food, u'b'mozoin shtei su'udois le'eruv, another area of halacha where different food items combine is regarding this mozen shtei sudois le'eruv. We've just been learning that if you want to have, you want to make an eruv, you could put down a food item then to the volume that you would eat in two meals. What happens if he puts down two food items with one food item as much as he would eat in one meal and another food item as much as he'd eat in one meal? Do they combine, or does it have to be a single food item? Says the Mishnah that kol oichlin mitzdarfim, even for the, in this halacha, they do combine, and one doesn't need the full shear of any one food item. And also, ukebeitze letamei tumas oichlin. We know that in order for a food item to make something else tomei, to make other foods tomei, there has to be the size of a kebeitze. The question is, does it have to be that a single food item is a kebeitze in order to make something else tomei? Or if you have combined a number of different foods that between them there's a kibbetzah and they are tummy, then between them they can make something else tummy. So the Mishnah says that b'kibbetzah letummy tumas eichlin, different food items combine to the shiur of a kibbetzah. So in the Gemara's learning from, that's the end of the Mishnah. The Gemara's taking it for granted that in this Mishnah you see that you can use apples for an Eruv, contrary to what Rava suggested, then that maybe you cannot use apples for an Eruv. Asks the Gemara, V'hai maita yufta? Where do you see in this Mishnah a question on Rava? On where do you see in this Mishnah that you can use apples for an Eruv? Yilema, are you going to say that you see it from the beginning of this Mishnah, Mishum Diktani, because it says, Kol ha'oichlin, that all food items combine together for mozo in shtei sudos and can be used for an Eruv. So you see that all food items can be used for an Eruv. V'hani, and these apples, b'nei achilaninu, they are food items. So you see in the Mishnah that any food item can be used. Not like you, Rava, wanted to say or wanted to suggest that you cannot use apples. Says the Gemara, that can't be a question on Rava. V'omer Rabbi Yechanan, and this is the Rabbi Yechanan we learnt about on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Ein lemeidim min haklolus. Even when a Mishnah makes a rule, you cannot take it for granted that the rule is across the board. V'afilu b'mokim shenemar b'ichutz, even if it would say explicitly in the rule where the exceptions are, that doesn't mean there are not even more exceptions. And therefore, even though it says kol ha'ichlin mitzdarfin, all food items combine to make to make the shiur, the measure you need for an Eruv, that doesn't mean that all food items can be used. Maybe there's an exception. Maybe apples are an exception. So there's no proof from this Mishnah against Rava. Ella, the proof is Mishum Diktoni, because the Mishnah said as follows, from the fact that the Mishnah compared two halachas. The Mishnah said, Ubemozin shtei sudeis le'eruv, that different food items can be combined regarding the shiur of two su'udois for Eruv, u'kabeitza letami tumas eichlin. And they combine to the size of a kabeitza in order to make foods tummy. So you see that whatever or any type of food that would make something tummy are also types of foods that you can use for an Eruv. V'hani nami, these apples are clearly b'nei t'muya tumas eichlin ninu. They're clearly foods and are able to make other things tummy, other food items tummy if they are tummy. If so, we take it for granted that they can be used for an Eruv. And this is the question on Rava. How can you, Rava, suggest that you don't make, you cannot use the apples for an Eruv? You see here that anything that could make something tummy could be used for an Eruv. So you see clearly that you can use apples for an Eruv. The question is, v'kama, how many apples would a person typically eat during two meals? Omar of Nachman answered, Tapuchin bekav. The amount of apples you need is a measure called a kav, which is quite a large number of apples. Asks the Gemara Meisvei, I've got a question from here, from a Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oimer. From Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it's going to seem that the apples you need much less than a kav for two sudos. What's Reb Shimon ben Elazar talking about? There's a halacha that one has to take trumas and maisris. Person's got a field. First thing he has to do is he has to take truma. Truma is either a 40th, a 50th, a 60th. Let's say 50th is 2% he has to give to the kohen. After the owner of the field has given the kohen the 2% of what's left, he has to give 10% to the levi, of which the levi has to give 10% trumas maisris to the kohen. Of what's left now of the owner, he's taken first 2%, and then he's taken 10% of the 98% that was remaining. Of what's left, then it depends what year of Shemitah. In every Shemitah cycle, you've got 6 regular years and then the Shemitah year. But those 6 years are split into 2 groups. Year 1 and 2, he has to give Maisa Sheni, which means he has to separate another 10%, take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Or sell it and take the money to Yerushalayim and buy with it foods and eat it there, as we've seen previously. And the same applies to year 4 and 5. Year 3 and 6, that 10%, that second 10%, is not Maisa Sheni, it's Maisa Oni. He's got to distribute it to the poor people. The question is, if he's got a large amount of food to distribute for Maisa Oni, how should he distribute it? So we learn from Psukim The Pasuk says, "V'nosato la'levi la'geir li'yosim u'la'almona," that it has to be a significant gift, a significant giving. And you see from there that you should not give any one poor person less than something significant. What's called a significant gift? The answer is that as much as a person needs for two meals, very similar to what we're seeing, the amount that you need for an Eruv. So the shiur of Eruv and the shiur of Maisa Oni, to how much to give to a particular Oni, is the same. So here we have a Braisa. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, and he's talking about Maisa Oni, Uchla Tavlin, which is a certain measure of spices, V'litra Yerek, and a measure called a litra of vegetables, V'asara Egoizim, 10 nuts, V'chamisho Afarasikim, and 5 Afarasikim that are often translated in contemporary terms as peaches, Ushnei Remoinim, and 2 pomegranates, V'esrig Echod, 1 esrig. These are all measures of a significant gift, and it's the shear of 2 sudais. So that's what we saw from Shimon ben Elazar. V'omag Gursak Bardori, there was a person called Gursak Bardori, who he heard from Reb Menashe Bar Shaguvli, and he said, Mishmeid Reb Menashe Bar Shaguvli, Mishmeid Rav, that this Reb Menashe said to this Gursak Bardori, he told him in the name of Rav as follows, V'chein Le'eruv. Exactly the same measurements that Reb Shimon ben Elazar said by Maisa Oni, the same applies to Eruv, because it's the same shiur, Mozin Shtei Sudois. And the Gemara is that's all he said in the name of Rav. So now the Gemara is saying, V'hani Nami, these tapuchim, these apples, Lehevi ki afarasikim. There's no reason that they should have a different measure than the peaches that are mentioned. And how many peaches is called choshuv? 5 peaches, we said. V'chamisho afarasikim. So why should you need a whole kav of apples? Yerav Nachman said that you need a kav, which is a very large measurement of apples to be used for an Eruv. If 5 peaches are enough, 5 apples should be enough. Answer the Gemara, no. Hani chashivi. Peaches are much more significant, and the amount of peaches that were eaten in 2 meals was just 5 peaches. The honey, however, apples, loy chashivi, they're far less significant, and the amount of apples eaten in 2 meals is much more, and therefore you need a kav, you need a larger measure. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Shorole morei l'Reb Menashe Bar Shaguvli. Hashem should forgive Reb Menashe Bar Shaguvli. Because there was a slight misquote here. Ano, I, Rav Yosef, amrito nihalei. I said over this quote from Rav. What did Rav say? V'chein le'eruv. That the same measures as apply to Maaser Oni also apply to Eruv. I said that Amas Nisan on a Mishnah. V'hu, and this Rav Menashe Bar Shaguvli, he said to Gursak Bar Dori, he quoted Rav to him regarding V'hu Amrua Abraisa. And he said it on the Braisa. We just mentioned the Braisa, Shimon ben Elazar Omer. We had a whole Braisa of measurements. Rav Yosef is saying, Rav didn't say V'chein Le'eruv on that Braisa. He said on a Mishnah discussing the measurements of Maisa Oni. So why did you tell Gursak Baradori that Rav said it on that Braisa? Did none. On what Mishnah did Rav actually say it? We learned in a Mishnah, Ein Poichasin Le'oni, one does not give any one poor person less than Begoiron when giving out in the Goyron, where they threshed the produce, where they stored the produce, the crops. Don't give out to any one poor person less than the following shiurim. Michetzi kav of chitin. If you have wheat, don't give less than half a kav of chitin. V'kav soirin, and a whole kav of barley. Reb Meir Omer, chetzi kav soirin. V'kav v'chetzi kusmin. Reb Meir says, half a kav of soirin. Not like the Tanakh Kama said you need a kav of soirin. Reb Meir said half a kav is enough. And a 1.5 kav of kusmin, v'kav grey grace, and a kav of grey grace, which are dried figs, oi mono, or a measure called a mono of dveila of pressed figs. And Rashi explains that whilst the figs are dried, then the way that they are distributed is using measures of kav, which is a volume, and the way that dveila, once they're ready pressed, then it's a different type of measure, and that's why it uses mono. Rabbi Akiva says pras, that the amount of pressed figs that's significant to give to a poor person is not a mono, rather pras, which is half a mono. V'chatzi loig of yain, half a loig of wine, that is significant. Rabbi Akiva says a revius of wine, what we all know as a revius, is a revius haloig, a quarter of a loig, half of what the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama said chetzi loig, which is two revius, and Rabbi Akiva said a revius. Urevius shemen, a revius haloig of oil is significant. Rabbi Akiva Omer Shminis, Rabbi Akiva says an eighth of a loig is already significant enough to give to a poor person. V'shar kol ha-peiros, and regarding all other produce, fruits, crops, Omar Abba Shaul, Kadesh Yimochrim, you give them enough that if you would sell them, v'yikach ben mozin shtei sudeis, he'll have enough money to buy what it takes for two meals. That was the Mishnah, a long list of shiurim, of measurements, what's called significant, for Maiser Oni. V'omar Rav, and it was on this Mishnah that Rav said, v'chein le'eruv. The same applies to an Eruv, that mozin shtei sudeis is the measure that you need. And these are the measurements of all these things. So Rav Yosef said, why did Rav Menashe tell Gorsak Bar Dori that Rav said v'chein le'eruv on the Braisa? He said it on the Mishnah. Asks the Gemara, umay ulma dehay mehach. What's the difference? The Braisa and the Mishnah are not even arguing. They're talking about different items. The Braisa has got one list of items, and the Mishnah's got a different list, and Rav said v'chein le'eruv, and it should apply to both. Where do you see the contradiction? What's the big tragedy that he said he mentioned Rav on the Braisa and not on the Mishnah? Ileima mishum da kotoni b'hach tavlin v'tavlin lav b'nei achilaninu. Are you saying that the reason that you cannot quote Rav when Rav says that the measurements mentioned here for Maisa Oni can be used also for Eruv cannot be said on the Braisa, because the first thing mentioned in the Braisa is Tavlin, is spices, and spices are not eaten on their own, and therefore you cannot use it for an Eruv. So you can't say V'chein le'eruv that Rav said is going in the Braisa. You can't make an Eruv using spices. Is that the reason that you have an issue with the fact that Rav Menashe referenced Rav to the Braisa? It says, "Otu hocha miloi ktoni chitin usoirim v'lav b'nei achilininu." The Mishnah's no better. In the Mishnah, it speaks about wheat and barley. Wheat and barley are not edible. You have to process them. You have to make them into bread. And wheat and barley, as and of its own, cannot be used of an eruv. So it must be that either way, when Rav said v'chein le'eruv, it didn't mean everything mentioned in the Mishnah. It just mentioned those things that are edible. Same would apply to the Braisa, that those things that you can eat now, as is, you can use for an eruv, and spices would not be included. So what was your problem? Rav Yosef, what's your issue with the fact that Rav Menashe attributed Rav to the Braisa, not to the Mishnah? Elo says the Gemara Mishum Diktoni, because in the Mishnah it mentions, and this is something which is not mentioned in the Braisa, Chetzi Loig Yain, that the amount of wine that's significant is two revius, which is half a loig. V'omar Rav, and we know that Rav elsewhere had said, the Ma'arvin, how that when you're making an Eruv, B'shtei revius sheloig, that indeed the measure is chetzi loig, which is two revius. A revius is a quarter, two quarters is a half. We know that Rav says that you can use, or the amount that you need is half a loig, as it says in the Mishnah. So obviously, Rav said what he said, v'chein le'eruv, on the Mishnah, not on the Braisa. Mide ba'inon kulehai, from the fact that Rav says you need so much wine, you need two revius, half a loig of wine, shma mino, it's apparent from there, ki omar Rav, when Rav said v'chein le'eruv, that the same applies to eruv, ahom asnisin ko omar, that he was going on the Mishnah that explicitly said that you need that much wine, shma mino, that's proof that indeed Rav said what he said on the Mishnah and not on the Braisa. Continues the Gemara, omar mar, ubemozoin shtei su'udeis le'eruv. We saw towards the beginning of the Omid a Mishnah that different food items, they combine with each other regarding mozin shtei sudeis le'eruv. It does not need to be any one food item to the measure that one would eat for two meals. One can combine different foods. From one food, the amount you would eat in one meal, another food, the amount you would eat in one meal. And the two together is two meals worth of food, and that's enough for an Eruv. So Rav Yosef Lemeima, Rav Yosef thought to say, Ad de'ika su'uda mehai u su'uda mehai. It's true that the Mishnah says you can combine two foods, but not more. You cannot combine more than two food items, where of each food item you have enough, which one would typically eat in one meal. But not that you can take three or four food items and have a measure of each one, the amount you would eat in half a meal. Omele Rabba, afilu lemechza leshlishu lerevia. Rabba says that there's no such restriction. It doesn't matter how many food items you have, as long as the sum total of all of them is the amount that you would have in two meals, it's enough. So if you have four food items, and each one is the measure of what you would eat for half a meal, between all of them you would have two meals, and that's enough. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, Omar Rav Ma'arvin b'shtei reviyos shel yayin. We just saw here, and this was Rav Yosef quoted this in the name of Rav, that we know that Rav held that the amount of wine that you need to make an Eruv is twice a revius, what we call a revius. Asks the Gemara, Umi ba'inon kulehai, do you need so much wine for an Eruv, two revius of wine? V'atanya we learnt in a braisa, the Pshim ben Elazar Oymer, Yayin k'dei lechil boi, choymet k'dei litvil boi, zeisim ubatolim k'dei lechil bohen shtei sudois. And here we have to introduce another concept that we will learn about more later on, and that is that some food items are eaten as is. For example, bread. You have a meal of bread. How much bread do you have in a meal? How much bread do you have in two meals? There are some items where you don't actually eat a whole meal of them. You use it with a meal. They are as an extension, an addition to a meal. For example, dips, things you soak other food items in, where you have much less of them. So, for example, if you have a vinegar, for example, and what do you do typically with vinegar? You dip either meat or vegetables into vinegar. So how much vinegar do you need for the Eruv? Do you need as much vinegar as you would use in a meal where one dips vegetables or meat into the vinegar, which is not very much vinegar? Or do you have to have as much vinegar as if the whole meal is the vinegar? I don't know if anybody would have a meal with vinegar, but wine, for example, wine, is it having a meal, dining on wine? That's quite a big shiur. Or you can use wine to dip in. They used to dip their bread into wine. So do you need wine that you would drink in two meals? Or is it enough to have as much wine as you would take bread that you would eat in two meals and dip that into wine? That's as much wine as you need, which is much less than two revius. So the Braisa says, Yayin, how much wine do you need for an Eruv? Kedei lechil boi, not as much as you would drink if you're dining on wine. It's enough to have as much wine as you would need to dip bread into it, which is much less. Chaymet, how much vinegar do you need? Kedei litvil boi, as much as you need to dip vegetables. Rashi says meat, but it's apparent that in the Gemara soon that it's talking about vegetables, as much vinegar as you would need to dip vegetables into it. Which vegetables? Okay, we'll soon see exactly how many vegetables. Zeisim, olives, ubatzolim, and onions, kdei lechil bohen shtei sudois, as much as you would need to, that you would eat bread with the olives or with the onions in two meals, not as much olives or onions you need if that's all you're eating. So you see here clearly that the amount of wine you need is as much as you need to dip in bread of two meals. So why did Rav say that you need to have two revius of wine? Answers the Gemara, Hosam b'chamra mevashla. When talking about the wine that's cooked, which seems to be a higher quality wine, that's the wine they will dip their bread into. And therefore, it's enough to have just a little bit of wine, as much as you need to dip in bread of two sudais. However, the wine that's not been cooked, there you would not dip your bread into it. It would just be drunk as is. And if it's drunk as is, then how much would you drink in two meals? How much you drink in two meals is two revius. And that's what Rav said. Two Revius is talking about non-cooked wine. Continues the Gemara. Omar, we just now saw chaymut, how much vinegar do you need to be able to use for an Eruv? Kedei litvil boy, as much as you would use to dip in the vegetables. Omar of Gidl, Omar Rav. If Gidl said in the name of Rav, kedei litvil boy mozoin shtei sudois shel yerek. How much vinegar do you need? As much as you would dip in vegetables, how many vegetables? 2 meals of vegetables. If you're dining on vegetables, the whole meal is vegetables, which is quite a significant amount of vegetables. And the amount of vinegar you need to dip those vegetables into, that's how much you need if you want to use it for an Eruv. Ikad Omra, another version said, Omer of Gidl Omar Rav, that you need much less. Yerek hanechal b'shtei sudois. Not that it's 2 sudois of vegetables, which is quite a significant amount of vegetables. No, as much vegetables as you would typically use in a regular suda. If you have a regular meal with bread and other food items, and also vegetables, which is a much smaller amount of vegetables, the amount of vinegar you need for that smaller amount of vegetables, that suffices for Eruv, according to the second opinion of Rav Gidl in the name of Rav. Continues the Gemara, Omamar. We saw just before, Zeisim u'betzolim, how many olives or onions do you need for an Eruv? Kedei lechil ben mozin shtei sudeis, as much as you would use to accompany the bread of 2 meals. Ask the Gemara, u'betzolim imarvin, can you use onions at all for an Eruv? V'otani we learnt in the Braisa, Reb Shimon ben Elozo. Pam achas shavas Reb Meir ba'ar diska. Reb Meir was once spending Shabbos in a place called Ardiska. Uba Odom Echod Lefonov, and this person came to him. Omar Loi, this person said to him, Rebbe, Iravti Bebetzolim Letivin. I live in wherever I lived, and I wanted to travel to Tivin, which is a place more than 2,000 Amos from where I was. So what did I do? I made an Eruv. What did I use for my Eruv? I used onions. Iravti, I made an Eruv, Bebetzolim, with onions, Letivin, to allow me to walk to Tivin, and I'm now on my way to Tivin. I've already passed the 2,000 Amos mark from where I started, and I haven't yet arrived at Tivin. And Vayishivei Reb Meir Ba'ar Ba'amis Shaloi, Reb Meir said, gentlemen, this Eruv is not a good Eruv. You cannot make an Eruv with onions. And since the Eruv is not a valid Eruv, you've come out of your Tchum. And somebody who goes out of his Tchum has to stay where he is. He's not allowed to move beyond 4 Amos. Reb Meir says you have to stay here within these 4 Amos till the end of Shabbos. So you see clearly that you cannot make an Eruv with onions. So how can you say that there's a measurement of how many onions you need to make an Eruv? Says the Gemara, Lo Ikashya, it's not a contradiction. Ha ba'alim, ha ba'imohis. Every onion, you have the bulb of the onion itself, and then you have the leaves, the green part of the onion. Some say it means the outer layer, the peel of the onion. Some say it's the green part that sticks up at the top of the onion. Either way, that's probably what it means. It's the leaves sticking up at the top of the onion. That those leaves, those you cannot make an Eruv with, because they're unhealthy to eat them, they're dangerous to eat them, as we'll soon see. But if you use the bulbs of the onions themselves, they're not unhealthy, and you're allowed to eat them, and therefore you can make an Eruv with it. D'tanya, because we learnt in a Braisa, Ochal Batzel, if somebody ate onions, V'hishkim u'meis, and early in the morning he rose and died, Ein oimrim imam meis, you don't need to wonder why he died. He died because he ate the onions. V'omar Shmuel, and Shmuel explained, Leishonu elo ba'alim, it's talking about the green, the leaves of the onion. They are dangerous and they can kill somebody. Aval be'imois, but the bulbs of the onions, less than bo, we have no problem with eating them, and therefore you can even use them for an Eruv. And that's what we saw before. How much do you need for an Eruv? As much as you would accompany with the bread that you're eating for 2 meals. And even regarding the leaves, we only said it was dangerous elo deloy avtzil, that they didn't yet grow zerusa to the size of a zeres, which is approximately half an amma. Aval ivtzil zerusa, if it's already grown to the state, to the point of a zeres, less lon bo, they're no longer dangerous, you're allowed to eat them. Omer of Papa, lo omron, Elo d'lo ishti shichro. When do we say that the eating the leaves of onions are dangerous? It's only if you do not drink beer immediately afterwards. Aval ishta shichro, if you drink beer immediately afterwards, less long ba, then there's no concern. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we're continuing with the onions. Lo yeichal odom botzel mipnei nochosh sheboy. A person should not eat the onions because of the poison inside it. O maise b'Rav Chanina. Once happened that Rav Chanina she'ochal chetzi batzil, he ate half an onion, v'chetzi nochosh sheboy, and he also ate, consequently he ate half of the poison in the onion, v'choloi became sick, v'not olomus, and he was close to dying. Or bigshu chaver of rachamim olof, his friends begged Hashem to have mercy on him, v'choya, and he recovered, mipnei she'ashal tzricholoi, because the time needed him, the klal yisrael at that time needed Reb Chanina, and therefore they davened for him, therefore the tefillahs helped, and the Mefarshim discussed why they wouldn't have davened for him otherwise, or why the tefillahs would not have been accepted otherwise, but either way what the Gemara says here is that they davened for him, he recovered, and the reason that he deserved this was because klal yisrael needed him at that time. Continues the Gemara, we're now moving on to Sheikhar, to the topic of beer. How much are you allowed to use beer to make an Eruv, and how much? Omer Abzeira Omer Shmuel, who said in the name of Shmuel as follows. Number one, Sheikhar Ma'arvin Boy. You can use beer to make an Eruv. Another halacha, Upoisel es ha-mikveh b'shloishes lugin. With this halacha, that for a mikveh to be kosher, you need to have 40 saw of rainwater. There's many halachas, but the measure is 40 saw. We've discussed earlier in the Masechta how the Chachomim came to that number. If you put 3 lug of water that's she'uvin, the rainwater must not have been drawn. They must never have gone through a clear utensil. If you have water that's been through a utensil, then it's not kosher to be a mikveh. If you've already got a kosher of mikveh 40 saw, you can add as much tap water as you want, as much water that's been in vessels as you want, and it's okay. But until you have 40 saw, if you have 3 lug of that 40 saw, which has been in a vessel, it's maim she'uvim, it's been drawn, then the whole mikveh is possible. It doesn't matter how much rainwater you add into it, it's possible. So it says here that if you put 3 lug of beer into a mikveh before you have 40 saw of rainwater, the mikveh is possible. It happens to be that the halacha, that 3 lug of maim she'uvim passels a mikveh, is only if it's water. If you took apple juice, real apple juice, squeezed apples, squeezed oranges, fruit juices, vegetable juices, not water, and you put that into a mikveh, it would not make it possible. If it seriously discolors the mikveh, it will make it possible. But, and that could apply even after 40 saw. But as far as the halacha of gimel lugin maim she'uvim, that's only water, not other fruit juices. That's what was said in the name of Shmuel. Maskev lo Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is now going to ask on Shmuel. Pshita, what are you coming to me mechadash? You're telling me that beer, it passels a mikveh? Why shouldn't it passel a mikveh? It's like any water that passels a mikveh. Why is it different to any discolored water? That it's water, and if you put it in the mikveh, if you have 3 lug of this water in a mikveh before you have 40 saw, the mikveh is possible. Titnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Omer, meitzeva, colored water, poislin is a mikveh, b'shleishes lugin. Why should beer be any different? Beer is also just water with a bit of discoloring and a little bit of taste from other ingredients, but it's water. Why should they not passel the mikveh? Omri, they explained, no. Shmuel, it was necessary for Shmuel to say his chiddush. Hosom, regarding Maya de Tziva Mikri, the colored water, it's called water. It kept its status and title. It is water. It's colored water. Since it's water, it passes the mikveh with Gimel Lugin. Hochaba, and regarding Shichra Ikri, regarding the beer, it's not called water anymore. It's changed its name. It's changed its status from water to beer. So maybe since it's changed its status, it's no longer called water. It's not called colored water. It's called beer. Maybe it has the same status as fruit juices that would not pass the mikveh. That's why Shmuel has to say no. In spite of the fact that it's changed its name to beer, it's still considered water, and Gimel Lugin will passel the mikveh. Ubekamo ma'arvin. how much beer do you need to be able to use it for an Eruv? Savar v'acha b'reid Rav Yosef kamed Rav Yosef l'meimar. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Yosef, in front of Rav Yosef, he suggested as follows. Betrain rivei shichra. Twice a quarter of a kav. A kav is 4 lug. A quarter of a kav is 1 lug. Twice a quarter of a kav is 2 lug. So the amount of beer you need is 2 lugin. How much wine do you need? Just by the way, we saw before that wine of 2 sudois is 2 revias, like we saw before. Not the cooked wine, the regular wine. Each meal you drink a revias. 2 revias is half a loik. Here it's 2 loik. It's 4 times as much beer as wine we mentioned before. Kedetnan, where do we see that the amount of beer should be 4 times the amount of wine? From a Mishnah. And this Mishnah is not talking about Eruv. It's talking about how much of different food items are called significant. If you carry them from one domain to the other, from one Rishus to another on Shabbos, you're chayev. It's got to be a significant act of carrying, which means you carry the significant amount of whatever you're carrying. So we learned in Maseches Shabbos at length different measures of different items. So we saw in the Mishnah, Hamoitzi Yayin, how much wine do you have to carry on Shabbos to be called significant and you're chayev? Kedei Mezigas HaKois. As much of, we're talking here about undiluted wine. In the time of Chazal, the wine, the pure wine, the raw wine was very, 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 very strong. It had to be diluted in 3 measures of water in order to be able to drink it. So how much of the real wine, the undiluted wine, did you have to take out in order to be called a significant carrying of undiluted wine? As much undiluted wine as you need to make a kois, to fill up a whole cup. That means once it's diluted, it will be a significant cup. But Tanya Lo, we learnt on that Mishnah, we learnt in a Braisa, what type of cup has to be filled after it's diluted from that amount of undiluted wine to be called significant for carrying on Shabbos? Kedei mezigas kois yofer. It's got to be a nice cup. A nice measure. My kois yofer. What makes a cup? What makes this yofer beautiful? Kois shel brocha. It's talking about the type of kois that you're making a brocha on. Many times, birchas hamazoin and bris milah, sheva brochas, kois. Very often you make a brocha on a kois. That's called a nice kois. So as much undiluted wine as you need to dilute and fill up such a cup, that's called significant. We still don't know how much this is. V'omer of Nachman Omer Rabbi Baravua, kois shel brocha. How much does this kois shel brocha have to be after it's diluted? Tzarech sheheyeiboy, roiva revias. Kedei sheyimzegenu v'yamud al revias. Which means that we need that the end product, a kois shel brocha, has to be a revias haloig. So the amount of undiluted wine you need is a quarter of a revias haloig. And since you add in 3 measures of water, if you have a quarter of a revias, add in 3 measures, which is 3/4 of a revias of water, you're left with a revias of wine. That's a kosel brocha. A kosel brocha needs a revias of wine. Ukeder Rava, and this is conforming with what we know from Rava. The Amar Rava kol chamro, any wine deloy dori al chad klas maya, you didn't mix with it with every 1 measure of undiluted wine 3 measures of water, lav chamru is not considered wine. So since we need a revias, and any drinkable revias has to be 3/4 water, so a quarter of a revias is the amount of undiluted wine you need. So if you carry on Shabbos a quarter of a revias of undiluted wine, it's significant and you'll be chayev. Uktoni Sefer, and we learnt in the Sefer of that Mishnah regarding how much you have to carry of different items to be called significant, that v'shar kol hamashkin, any other beverages, any other drinks, berevias, it's a whole revias, and that includes beer. And not only that, v'chol ha'shevchin, any wastewater that you might use to mix your cement and plaster, but you wouldn't drink it, berevias, the measure is also revias. If you carry it to Shabbos, a revias of it, you're chayev. So what do we see from there? How much undiluted wine do you have to carry in order to be chayev on Shabbos? a quarter of a revius. How much sheichor do you have to carry to be chayv on Shabbos? A whole revius, which means it's a ratio of 1 to 4. Midahalsam, in the same as over there, al chad arba, for one measure of wine, you need four measures of beer to be chayev for carrying. Hocha, so too, regarding Eruv Nami, the same applies. Al chad, for one measure of wine, arba, you have four measures of beer. How much wine do you have to, are you allowed to use, or do you have to use for an Eruv? We said a revius per meal. There's two revius altogether. So sheichor beer is going to need 8 revius. 8 revius is 2 loig. 2 loig is half a kav, which is exactly what we said before. When we asked how much beer, the kamo, how much beer do you need in order to be able to make an Eruv? And we said in the Gemara, Rav Acha said, betrain revi shichra, which is 2 quarters, which is half of 2 quarters of a kav, which is half a kav, which is 2 loig. But the Gemara says against Rav Acha v'loihi, it's not the case. You cannot learn the halachas, the ratios of wine to beer for Eruv from wine to beer of carrying. Because regarding carrying, all that's important is that it's significant. Less than a revius of beer is simply insignificant. It's not because it's 4 times as much wine. Wine is significant if it could be diluted into a koishel brocha. Beer is only significant if you have a revius. However, regarding Eruv, I don't need significance. I need how much would a person typically eat in 2 meals, or drink in 2 meals. So wine, a person will typically drink a revius in each meal. The same could be true to beer. A person will typically drink a revius in each meal. And then the amount of beer that you need for an Eruv would be the same as wine. You only need 2 revius, which is half a loig, not 4 times that amount. V'loihi hasam, in the case of carrying on Shabbos, who the botzer mihachin less than a revius, loi choshev, is not significant. Aval hacha, but here in the case of Eruv, loi, we don't need significance. Da'avida inish deshosu kasa b'safra v'kasa b'panya v'samch ilaveyu. It's the very fact that a person drinks a cup of beer in the morning and a cup of beer in the afternoon, which means 2 meals, a cup of beer in each, and the person it suffices for a person. So for Eruv, it will be enough to have the same measure of beer as for wine. The big question that we have to ask ourselves is the ratio of 1 to 4 that we're discussing, wine to beer, it's only undiluted wine to beer, we said was 1 to 4 regarding carrying on Shabbos. As far as Eruv is concerned, we're talking about diluted wine. Diluted wine carrying on Shabbos, the measure of diluted wine is exactly a revius, exactly the same as Sheichor. So there's a big problem here. How can you compare the ratio of 1 to 4 of undiluted wine to beer from carrying on Shabbos to the measure of Eruv, where we're talking about diluted wine, and diluted wine, even in Hilchos Shabbos, wine and beer is the same shir, then how can the Gemara say that, or at least in the Havamin of the Gemara compared wine to beer as 1 to 4, where would that come from? We're talking about diluted wine. It's a very big problem here. The Roshash, the Sfasemes discuss it, and we can't go into it at length. We explain the Gemara at face value, but it's a point which one has to be aware that it's a point to ponder. Continues the Gemara. And now we're moving on to Tmorim, to dates. Asks the Gemara, Tmorim bekamo. How many dates do you need in order to be enough for an Eruv? Omer of Yosef, Tmorim bekav. The amount of dates you need is a kav, a measure called a kav. Omer of Yosef minoa minelo. I'll bring you proof that for dates you need a kav. And he's not actually going to bring a proof from dates, he's more going to bring a proof from dried figs and the relationship between dates and the dried figs. Because we'll remember, we saw in Daf Choftes Amud Aleph, we saw that it said explicitly in the Mishnah, the kav groigrois, as far as maisa oni is concerned, how much you give to a poor person, the amount of dried figs is the measure of a kav. We didn't have explicit measure about dates, but we're going to see that the same as we saw that for groigrois, a kav is called a significant shiur for two meals, the same is going to apply to tmorim. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. And the Braisa is going to discuss a different halacha. We know that truma has to be given to a kohen. A person takes off truma, approximately 2%, and gives it to the kohen. What happens if somebody by mistake ate the truma? He has to reimburse the kohen. He has to pay for it. So how much do you have to pay? Whatever you took, whatever you stole, whatever you ate by mistake, you have to give that back, and you have to add a little bit, but that's not our sugya now. So what does it say in the Braisa? Ochal grey grace, if somebody by mistake ate dried figs belonging to Truma, v'shilim tmorim, and when he paid back to the kohen, then he paid back using dates, he paid back dates. Tovoil of bracha. The Braisa says that he's deserving of extra blessing because he did something very virtuous. He did more than he had to do. He gave more than he had to give. Hey chadomi, let's try and understand what the case was. Ile melefi domim, is it that what he gave back of tmorim was the same value as the dried figs that he ate? De ochal minei bezuza, he ate a zuz worth of dried figs, v'komashalim lei bezuza, and he paid back a zuz worth of dried dates. My tovel of brocha, why is he deserving of extra brocha? He paid back, he took something that wasn't his, and he gave it back. Why is he deserving of brocha? What's he done virtuous to deserve that? Bezuza ochel, bezuza komashalim. He ate the value of a zuz, and he paid back the value of a zuz. El olav, it must be lefimido. It must be that the Braisa is talking about that he paid back as in volume. He ate a certain volume of dried figs, and he paid back a same volume of dates. De ochel minei giryua de gregris. He ate a giryua, which is a measure of dried figs, the shavya zuza, and we're assuming now that the dried figs are worth just one zuz. This measure of dried figs is worth just one zuz. The komashalim le giryua de tmorim, and he paid back the same measure, the same volume of dates, the shavya arba. We're assuming that it's worth four times as much. It's four times as significant as the grey grace, as the dried figs, uktonya, and that's why it says tovei lov brocha. And from this, from the very fact that it says tovei lov brocha, that's where we know that the dates are more expensive, are worth more and more significant than the figs, than the dried figs. Alma tmori madifa. From the very fact that he's getting this extra brocha, shows us that the tmorim are worth more than the grey grace. And the same way as we saw on Amud Aleph, that the measure of grey grace is a kav, then tmorim certainly won't need more than that. The kav is certainly enough. It could be that even less will be enough because it's even more choshev. And the more choshev something is, it seems that that's, you need less for the eruv. So the Rav Yosef brought this as proof that if a kav was enough for the dried figs, you certainly don't need more than that for the Eruv. Omale Abaya argued with Rav Yosef and said, La'olam de'ochal minei bezuza ve'kom mashalim bezuza. It could be that what he gave back has the same monetary value as what he took, either because tmorim, the dates and the dried figs are worth the same, or it could even be that the dates are worth less than the dried figs, they're even less choshev than the dried figs, and he gave back a larger volume of dates than the figs that he ate in order to pay for the dried figs that he took. And if so, what's the tovei lov bracha? Or my tovei lov bracha? Yeah, even though I gave you something which is in and of itself is worth less than what you took, I gave you the right value because I gave you more volume of it. The ochel minei midi de loikofit zalei zvini, v'mekoshalim lei midi de kofit zalei zvini. However it's worth, it's easier to sell dates than it is to sell dried figs. The very fact that you are kind enough to pay back using dates and not the dried figs that you took, which is what you ate, that's already making him deserving of bracha. But the fact that you see that dates are possibly worth even less, their value in and of themselves is worth less than dried figs per volume, then it could be that you need even more than a kav. So you, Rav Yosef, say that a kav is enough, saying that you learn it from Gregorus. I, Abaye, am saying that it could well be you need much more than a kav. And you don't have proof from there that a kav is enough. Continues the Gemara. Shasisa. Shasisa is a type of a dish that's made of wheat or flour, that's made of toasted wheat kernels and honey. You can use it for an Eruv. It's a food item. The question is, how much do you need? Omer of Achabar Pinchas Trei Shargushi. Two spoonfuls, the measure of a Shargushi, two spoonfuls of that is what you need for the Eruv. Continues the Gemara. Kisoni, which are roasted grains, you can use them for an Eruv. They're edible. The question is, how much? Omer Abaya, Trei Buni de Pompadisa. There was a measuring, some measure called buni that was common in Pompadisa, and two of these buni measurements from Pompadisa, that's as much as you need for an Eruv. Continues the Gemara, Omer Abaye, and we're going to discuss a little bit this kusoni, these roasted grains. Omro li'em, now Abaye's mother died when she was giving birth to him. He didn't have a mother, he didn't know his mother, but the woman that took care of him, the motherly figure in his life, the one that brought him up, she will tell him, and we've seen in the past, Abaya said a lot of things in her name. Omro li'em, hana kisoni, malu liba. The very good, the healthy for the heart. Umavat le'machshov, it takes away anxieties and worries. Va'omar Abaya, omro li'em, another thing he said from his aim, from this mother in his life. Hai man di'islei chul shed liba, a person who's got a weak heart, laisa bisrei, should bring some meat, de atma, Yamina from the right thigh, the dichra from rams. Velaisa, he should also bring kvuya dereisa, some dung of the cattle, de Nisan in the month of Nisan. Veileka kvuya dereisa, if dung of the cattle is not available, laisa, he should bring sugini, which are fig, which are twigs, de arvosa from the willow tree, from the arvos tree. Venich bevei, and turn them into coals, burn them, turn them into coals, and on these coals you should roast the meat that we just mentioned. V'nechal, and you should eat it. V'nishtei basrei chamra marka, and after that he should drink diluted wine. And if he does that, it will strengthen his weak heart. And that's what Abaya heard from the mother that took care of him. Nimirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.